Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake. Ba 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 ba. Happy Christmas. Ba 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 ba.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There's just 214 more shopping days left until Christmas, and you know what that means. It's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, where we watch holiday movies all year round because we have no idea what to do with ourselves until then. Hi, my name is Joe. I will be your host this evening. Here with me tonight are my good friends John.
Yeah.
Yeah, John's here. And Karen.
Hello.
Howdy. And tonight we're going to do something very special because it's Memorial Day when we're releasing this. So we're going to memorialize the passing of one Robin Williams with his groundbreaking holiday film, Merry Friggin' Christmas, from last year's 2014, one of his very last movies. In fact, I think one of his last actual on-screen appearances. And boy, oh boy, is that a depressing thought, because holy crap, Merry Friggin' Christmas is the worst. A
little bit. And also, while we are memorializing things, let's memorialize our old podcast.
No.
I mean,
it's dead. RIP. R.I.P.D.
I mean, double tap, one in the chest, one in the head. It's dead. It's dead and gone.
Aw.
But all of the hosts are here. John and Karen and myself, and also Bradford is here.
Hi, guys.
Howdy.
Oh, my freaking
hey,
ears.
Brad.
Hi, Brad. Where you been?
Oh, you know, away.
You've been around?
I've been around the town too many times.
You've
to
seen
count.
Some shit.
I have seen so much shit, you guys.
So it has. It's been almost a year since we've had you on any kind of podcast, and the four people that listen to this show might actually remember your voice.
I doubt it.
I very much hope so.
I hope so, too.
I mean, they better.
Ooh,
wow.
That's pretty harsh. Yeah. Even I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, it's salty. I mean, it's Christmas. We can't be this.
This is a hostile goddamn podcast.
Hey, thanks for listening, you sons of bitches.
That's our show.
You filthy animals.
Merry friggin' Christmas.
This movie sucked.
Oh, yeah.
Man, oh man. Yeah, let's just jump into it. Merry friggin' Christmas. I'm not even sure how we landed on this one. Because why, in any other circumstance, why would you?
I don't know.
Nobody has any.
Except for maybe Robin Williams.
Actually, I mean, I know.
Did you arrive at this?
Yeah, this was your choice.
This was my choice. This. John made a recommendation, and I shot it down, and then made a recommendation, and he said, all right, whatever.
Yeah, I recommended some shitty mumblecore bullshit, and then you were like, oh, that shitty mumblecore bullshit is good, I like it. And they're like, well.
What the hell is a mumblecore? Is that like a manticore? How many hit die does a mumblecore have?
3d8, plus one.
All right.
That plus one is important.
It is important.
It certainly is something, though.
It certainly is something. Good is not one.
No. Although there were times that I actually laughed, but
I laughed once the entire time.
It was not really because of the movie itself.
The intent of the movie for
yeah.
you to laugh?
Some of the actors made me laugh.
Okay.
Because
yeah,
of who they are.
Whenever Clark Duke just started Clark Duking, it got pretty funny. But
which one was Clark Duke?
He
was
the kid with PTSD. Whenever he just started rambling, it got funny.
Okay,
yeah, that's his real name.
He was one of the better characters.
Yeah,
that's his sort of MO is just let him just ramble and go, and let's just see where he takes it.
Right.
But I get the feeling that this movie wasn't really improv. It felt tightly scripted.
Yeah,
for it to its own detriment.
Let's start at the beginning. Merry Friggin' Christmas. Was apparently originally called Merry Fucking Christmas, but you can't sell a movie called Merry Fucking Christmas, so they had to.
You're giving me the vapors, just saying it, Joe.
So you know they had to soft pedal it just a bit, and I get the feeling that they soft pedaled the whole movie too.
Well, because there's not even a single fuck in the movie.
No, it's like PG-13.
It is PG-13,
but it is like super angry
and
of
a little bit.
But all the characters are just like, you know, oh, kiss my AUB. Like, they're seriously initializing curse words in order to make it PG-13.
And I mean, in PG-13, if I'm not mistaken, you get two fucks.
Yeah, at least. No, no, no. Total.
yeah, yeah. You get a max of two fucks.
You're able to give two fucks.
Yes, literally.
A max of two, neither of which can be sexualized.
Right.
Yeah, because one time I flew on a plane, the in-flight movie was Be Cool, which the very beginning of Be Cool, which is a PG-13 movie, is an entire bit about how in a PG-13 movie you can get away with saying fuck a couple of times, which John Travolta character says, fuck that, that's stupid. And the plane censored that too, forget that.
Wow.
So there's PG-13 and then there's TB PG-13.
Or Delta.
PG-13. Delta PG-13. TWA PG-13.
That's actually a funny point because as much as I could realize that the movie was bad, I didn't mind having it on because I listened to it in a car on the drive down in traffic. So I developed a little bit of Stockholm Syndrome for this movie, even though I only laughed once.
So yeah, you had a long drive today.
Yeah.
And you knew we were doing this, so you downloaded it onto, I guess, your iPod.
Yeah, onto my phone.
And you basically audiobooked it on the way down here.
I did. I was stuck in bumper to bumper at the beginning, so I could see everybody and get kind of the cast of characters in my mind. But once they rolled up to Grampy's house, it was all audiobooked from then on out, except right towards the end.
So serious question. I know your trip was a long one. How many times did you listen to it end to end?
Once? Are you kidding?
Okay, just thought I'd ask.
You think I'd subject myself to that more than once?
I mean, I would.
You could have listened to it, what, about 3.5 times or four?
Oh, yeah, I guess I could have if I really wanted to kill myself.
So, the poster is like some straight burn after reading shit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're trying to sell it on the strength of the character, of the actors' names.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like a fucking Hitchcock poster or something.
Well, the other thing is, the movie also is really confused because it's really angry and it's trying to be raunchy without really being raunchy, where it's like, oh, you're an ass sponge. And, like, there was one I made a note of where it just seemed, like, so telegraphed in, where it's like, oh, we're just going to put something edgy here because we can put something edgy. But despite all of that, did you notice, like, the weird, like, twee indie soundtrack, the score like, all of the Christmas songs, where it's, like, trying to pull a Walter Mitty on our asses?
A bunch of, like, ukulele music.
Yeah, where it's, like, it's like, oh, this is, a magical spiritual journey, and now we're suddenly transported into a Wes Anderson film for about 20 seconds, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially with, the Santa-mobile at the end, where they're all riding in the scooter, and it's,
oh,
like,
Christ.
Where's Owen Wilson hitching a ride on the back of it in a goofy costume?
He's the only one missing, really.
I don't know, and it felt really confused in that regard, too.
So, like, it was trying to have some, like, dysfunctional
family
Wes Anderson
antic.
Family
it was,
shit.
And when I thought that they killed the Santa, I literally thought they were going to pull a book from Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh God!
Where they, like, throw him in the back of the truck with the porta potties, and it's like, oh, we gotta hide the Santa body.
Oh dear God!
See, we can talk about that later because I had some seriously weird thoughts about that scene.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's
in
a whole
that
lot
scene.
Going on.
Yeah,
but Okay, so this movie was written by a guy named Michael Brown, the one and only credit he has on IMDb. So this is apparently the first movie he's ever written.
At last.
And to date, last.
Because he fucking killed Robin Williams.
Can we say this is the movie
no,
that...
We can't say that.
Okay.
We literally can't say this is... We literally cannot say this is the man who killed Robin Williams. This could be the movie that killed Robin
Williams.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. The movie that killed Robin Williams.
With this movie, Robin Williams was killed. And
yes.
This man penned it.
We need a more coherent timeline. Did he record the voice of the dog in absolutely anything?
I don't know.
After this or before this? Because one of those two movies may have killed Robin Williams.
And somewhere in the mix is Night at the Museum 3.
Oh, you're right. I'm sure there's...
It's difficult to say.
Maybe there's going to be, a court file on this.
Round up the usual suspects.
Yeah. So, yeah, about that, I felt bad when that whole news broke, obviously, when he committed suicide in August. But this is the first thing I've actually watched with him in it since that happened, and it just made me feel really sad, like, a lot of the scenes, just to bring it down for a second.
Because he's actually not that, he's not great. In this movie,
he plays a fucking asshole.
But it's all
he's doing is
he's like a sad old man.
Yeah,
in this movie,
that's kind of
and it just seemed a little too real.
I got the same thing kind of on it too, where it's like, it's funny in bits and parts, but overall his character is a very like sad one. He's, you know, this alcoholic who has these regrets and all of this, and it's like,
right,
you have to wonder how much of that is reflective or whatever. I mean, I don't know, but
yeah, like how much he was pulling from his actual life and how much he was like acting
and you know,
because he looked like
depressed.
Yeah, he just looked like a broken man in parts of this movie.
Every so often, you find him kind of staring off into the distance, like, "What am I doing here?
Yeah,
what am I even doing here?
What were we doing there?"
I don't know. I apologize for this. I really do. Like, we've watched some really terrible things so far, like Christmas Shoes and Bone Alone, and this. I kind of felt bad for you guys watching it. I felt bad for myself because I've actually seen this before and I still watched it again.
Well, I mentioned after we watched it that I actually did not hate it as much as, say, Christmas Shoes or Bone Alone.
It's not instantly hateable, but it's
I would say it's not the worst Christmas movie I've seen.
Just because of the cast. There were a lot of people on the cast that I really like, and so that is like the only redeeming thing, but the movie was still really bad.
Yeah, it's. I guess that's
just a bunch of angry, bitter bullshit, and then a kind of feel good ending, just for because
it's a Christmas movie, and you have to have a feel good ending, unless
it's trying to be Bad Santa.
Pretty much,
it's trying to be a little bit of Bad Santa and a little bit of Christmas Vacation,
understanding what made either of those movies good.
Yes, absolutely.
Are we going to run down the plot really quickly?
Yes, we should probably do that.
Okay.
So we have Joel McHale is Boyd, who is a giant blithering man-child. It starts out with a flashback with a voiceover because fuck everything in my goddamn shitty life. where he's talking about how when his dad, Robin Williams, who looked kind of like Swamp Thing and Con Air in this scene.
God.
Comes down on Christmas morning and tells him, yeah, there's no Santa, I got you that present, welcome to life, kid. And he helps him build a train while, like, drinking bourbon, I think. And then there's a voice to that, and it cuts to the future, and he's married to Mrs. Santa's sister from Bad Santa, Lauren Graham. And he has two kids, both of which I hate.
And the son is actually the same boy that they used in the flashback to play Boyd.
Okay.
As well.
Was it really?
I think it was, yeah. Now you're looking it up.
Like father, like son.
But the daughter is just an annoying little fucking know-it-all. And the son is like 6 years old, but the dad wishes he was like three. Yeah, the girl is actually walking around and fucking... And the boy, the Joel McHale wishes his kid was still 3 years old, despite the kid being six, nearly seven. Because he's, like, this kid straight up knows at this point that Santa is no longer a thing. And Joel McHale's like, no, Santa's totally real, and you still need a bottle, don't you? Baby, need a bottle?
No one's not real. Not even Santa.
Yeah, he tells the kid everyone's real.
This is some weird...
How,
like,
can somebody not exist?
This is some weird fucking existentialist movie shit.
Well,
did they get, like, Camus on board to write this?
Is Camus dead?
Yes.
Like, by a long shot.
But
Thank you.
It kind of reminded me of Christmas with the Cranks a little bit. How Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis made this big goddamn deal about how important the Christmas party was to their daughter. When it seemed more that
they're doing it for their own personal health benefit.
Yeah, the entire thing was it was all about how important they thought it was to her rather than how important it actually was to her. And that seems to be what Joel McHale is. He thinks Santa is so important to his kid rather than Santa actually being important to his kid.
Kid doesn't give a shit. He just wants projecting. Stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't that everybody?
The actual plot, or the thing that gets the plot moving, is that Joel McHale's brother is played by Clark Duke. Is having a christening for his half-Mexican baby that's not actually
his. All he says at the beginning is his baby.
Yeah, it's just his baby. He doesn't even reveal that it's not even his. And that he's having the christening on New Year's Eve. Or no.
Christmas Eve.
Wow. And which necessitates the entire family get together at their parents' house. to celebrate Christmas and also the christening.
So an important question here is, Clark Duke's baby actually Jesus?
No, it's Boyd Jr.
It's Boyd
Jr. I mean, they may have possibly named it Jesus.
No, it was Boyd Jr. It was BJ.
It was BJ. Yeah.
Which stands for what, according to this movie?
Butt jam?
Butt jam.
Butt jam.
Now, let me make a very important point here.
Okay.
Actually, the thing that I took away from this movie most. Can we assume that this movie is taking place in 2014?
I would hope so, yes.
Yeah.
The entire movie would not have occurred if they did not have a landline in the year of our Lord 2014. What happens is the phone starts ringing. He looks at the caller ID. He says, oh, it's my brother. I'm going to pass on that. And the phone's ringing throughout the entire house. And she's like, pick it up or you'll wake up the kids.
That's fucking true. They do have a landline.
Yeah, and then now, and there's a joke with Clark Duke is like, wow, caller ID is a thing. Well, he's talking like an 80s, like, Ma Bell, like...
Yeah, yeah, a telephone.
Rotary phone, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, they talk about texts and cell phones later in the movie. And it's like, Joel McHale is like a mid-30s dude. You really think he's going to have a landline phone
right
in his house in 2014?
I mean, he's like a I know. He's a grown-ass millennial.
We got to make this.
I mean, he's a grown-ass millennial, but he's old enough that he probably has some crappy service like Vonage or Time Warner.
I was going to guess he's the type of guy with way too much money who like did a meaningless bundle with Time Warner or Comcast or something.
That's a very good point.
He has it, but he doesn't want it.
Fair enough.
Much like his family.
It's true.
So, I think it was his sister was the other person.
Yep.
Because Tim Heidecker plays his brother-in-law, who's just a piece of shit with a bowl cut.
Which, like, about...
Who is also...
A sex offender of some sort?
About halfway through the movie, I was like, oh my god, is that Tim Heidecker?
Yeah, I noticed it right away. And I was like, well, at least this movie has Tim Heidecker in it.
But even that, like,
it
little
doesn't save
small
it.
Comfort doesn't really help. Because
no.
He basically just blends in with the background.
Yeah.
He basically just does the Tim Heidecker yell the entire time.
Yeah, and he plays like a super like white trash character.
Yeah, and his two kids, his daughter is just like, his daughter had, like, we first get introduced to his daughter by her showing one of the other kids a video of her shaking her ass that she put on YouTube. And his son is, I remember this name because I hate this goddamn kid so much, Ryan Lee. Yeah, I thought this kid was just making a stupid face to, like, be a white trash kid the entire movie. That's just how his fucking
face is.
Yeah. Like, describe this face, Brad.
See, the minor details I did not get because I was trying not to run my car into other cars.
Well, you missed out on this face. Describe this kid's face.
I looked away when he started shoving rolls into his mouth.
Yeah.
This kid is basically crappy Bugs Bunny.
He had a jacked up grill.
He has giant buck teeth, and he uses them like a buzzsaw.
Okay.
He has the worst overbite, and he can't close his mouth all the way. So you just constantly see these gigantic front teeth. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
okay.
Doing it.
That's not the character he's doing for this movie. That's the face.
That's
right.
His face.
Okay.
But his thing is that he is a professional competitive eater. So, of course, during the family's Christmas dinner, he eats all of the bread rolls because, nobody else wants bread rolls.
Well, yeah, and they encourage it. They're
they
like,
all cheer him on.
Yeah, they're like, here, demonstrate this for us, please. And then they give him the bread.
So it might feel like we're rushing through this movie, but
so
does this movie.
We're so not. We're not even to the actual point of the movie.
Yeah, we're still in the first act here.
Yeah, they have another kid who's unimportant because he's like 2 years old. And then...
Was there? Yeah, I didn't see... Yeah. That's how unimportant he was, is that I didn't
Lance
even listening.
And Pam are the two kids, and they have another kid named Kale. Those are Tim Heidecker's three kids.
I remember somebody saying the word Kale.
I only know that from IMDb. Lastly is Candace Bergen and Ron Williams are the parents.
Yeah.
Mitch Mitchler
and...
Donna.
Her name is Donna, but they call her Deedle.
Yeah.
They also call Douglas Bug?
They call him, like, Dougie Bug or some shit like that. Yeah, like, everyone has a cutie-ass nickname. Like, I don't know about you guys. I called my grandparents, like, Grandma last name and Grandpa last name.
Yeah.
And
both of them? Like, both sets?
You called them by their last... Okay.
I called them, like... I called each of them by their last name.
Okay.
Like, both Grandpa and Grandma. I didn't call them, like, you know...
Pappy and Peepaw and Poppy and Meemaw and...
Yeah, that's
some
how...
Some of the other ones.
How I did, except I'm from the South, so it was Grandma and Papa.
So,
okay.
I mean, you differentiate.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those are at least halfway on base. This is like Poo-Poo and Dee Dee or something like
Deedle?
That.
Deedle and Pooh-Bah. I think it was like Pooh-Bah, like Grand Pooh-Bah.
Yeah.
I want to be Pooh-Bah.
I want to be Pumbaa.
Boy.
You're just be glad that I did not break out in Hakuna Matata, because I was seriously tempted.
I just want to point out that, that John admitted that he wanted to be a Billy Bumbler. So the actual, real, true, honest-to-God story here is that it's Christmas Eve, and the family is all looking at, you know, the Christmas presents under the tree, and Boyd discovers, oh my god, Bug's presents are still at the house. X number of hours away in Chicago.
Four hours away in Chicago.
Yes, because they were having a big fight earlier about who's going to put the presents in the car, and they shoved them in the mudroom and forgot about them.
Yep, and then it's an 8-hour round trip.
So Boyd and Mitch hop in the family, or no, Boyd.
Just for
simplicity's sake, Boyd and Mitch hop in the family.
Yes.
Crapper tank truck.
Boyd takes off. His car breaks down. His dad comes and picks him up, and they take off.
Oh, also they both hate each other's guts. I don't know if that memo.
Yeah, no, they had a huge like yelling match at Christmas dinner to the point where Clark Duke's character ran off from his PTSD and hid somewhere somewhere dark and quiet.
His quiet place.
His quiet place. It's the best quiet place.
It really is. So yeah,
speaking of him, his story at the baptism is. His girlfriend had a kid with some, I think he said a minor league ball player.
A Mexican minor league ball player, yeah.
And then she's like, hey, can you watch the kid for a while? And he's like, that was 6 months ago, and I haven't named the kid yet.
So is this like an episode of Eastbound and Down?
And he was in basic training, and he fell off of a truck and hit his head.
And got PTSD.
PTSD.
Yes.
But as Mitch so rightly points out, he injured himself serving his country.
Yeah.
Technically speaking, yes.
True fact, if you want to look at it that way.
Then Boyd got pulled over on the way up there for going like 90 and a 60 or something like that by a guy who I swore was Rob Corddry, but totally wasn't.
I thought it was Nate
from The Office.
And then we swore it was Nate Corddry, and we were still wrong.
And then the final answer is it was a character pulled out of Fargo. The end.
He brings Boyd glad tidings because he says you can pay speeding tickets online in Wisconsin now.
Hooray.
Don't you know?
Is that true?
You can pay speeding tickets online here.
Can you really?
You didn't look up the name of the writer, but you want to look up whether or not you can space speeding tickets in Wisconsin?
I mean,
that's important fact-checking for you.
We got priorities.
Hey, I'm probably never going to meet the writer. I might go to Wisconsin.
All right, and possibly get a speeding ticket.
As a person who had a speeding ticket, maybe like a year and a half ago, I can say with some confidence that you can, in fact, pay them online here.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
our state of Statesoda.
Yes, exactly.
You get your $15 speeding ticket and then your $200 court fees.
Yes. Yep.
All right.
Pretty much.
So
true facts. All true things here on Christmas Creeps. So moving on.
They get pulled over again, and Trooper Zablocki's like, well, I got candy canes for you three gentlemen. And they're like, there are two of us. And who else is there?
They discover that Clark Duke has been hiding out in the porta potty in the back of the truck.
Because Robin Williams' business is he rents out porta potties, and he has a truck full of them.
Yeah.
So here's a question: how did the police officer know that Clark Duke was hiding in a porta potty?
Was the door open?
He's a dwarf. He has infravision.
Okay, so you say he's a dwarf, and he has infravision.
Uh huh.
You say the door was open.
Uh huh.
Why would the door be open? Why am I saying this is more unrealistic than fucking dwarf vision?
Because this is a
maybe he wanted to look out at the scenery because he heard noises of the car moving.
He was asleep, though. The officer woke him up by shining a light on him.
Okay.
That seems really
dangerous. But how did the door get open to begin with?
Yeah, porta potty doors lock.
And they also have that spring, so they close automatically.
Oh, yeah.
I guess the officer cast detect magic.
This is not fucking Dungeons & Dragons.
Person, along with the Twee cores.
John, you want to be cool or retarded?
Oh, this scene.
Both.
Awful scene.
That was a line from the movie.
Pickles.
So while Boyd and Mitch and...
The awful, awful B-plot.
What is Clark Duke's name? Jimmy? John?
No, it's...
What the fuck is the character?
Dirk?
Nelson.
Yeah, because they call him Nelly. His parents call him Nelly.
Everybody just has the cutest little nickname, don't they?
Yeah, Boyd is alternately Sally and Gladys, depending on how angry Robin Williams is.
Wah, wah.
I get the feeling he calls everybody that, though.
Yeah.
Depending on how, misogynistic he's feeling, I guess.
So they end up back at the house in, 10 minutes later, because that's how this movie works. This movie really, it's, 84 minutes long. It rushes through scenes.
Oh, yeah. But it still, like, wastes a lot of time on setup for some reason. The middle is just so short.
Yeah. Speaking of awful B plots, they make Bug eat a jar of pickles, which was that.
Rance, the fucking competitive eater, makes his little tiny 6-year-old cousin eat a jar of pickles that are 40-some-odd
years old.
Why did they have a jar of pickles that were 40-some years old?
Because it was, like, grandma's basement.
Grandma's house.
I actually missed the beginning of the scene because I had to run to the bathroom at the time.
And then I believe Bug starts hallucinating or flipping out.
I've never had 40-year-old pickles. I don't know what happens to you, but I don't think you run around the room jumping and screaming.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
I'm actually daughter who at this point, her cousin has dressed her up like a hooker, is like, don't you know that if you eat 40-year-old food, you hallucinate?
Yeah, I did remember hearing that.
She looks like that girl from Bob's Burgers that is friends with Tina, Tammy.
Tammy.
Yeah.
So they end up back at the house, and when they get in the house, they realize that this is another, like, Chekhov's throwaway line coming back to bite them in the ass. Or the Lauren Graham's character, who is Luann, Boyd's wife, mentioned that she got an ESL student of hers to dog sit. And he understood dog sit as to mean come over to the house and sit with the dog at all times. And he invited his family along so he didn't get lonely.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is where I stopped having any sympathy at all for Boyd. Because Boyd in this scene turns into, like, the biggest, most gigantic asshole
The
world. Just like, in the universe.
Just the hugest piece of shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just screaming. He's screaming at a room full of, like,
Iranians that don't understand him and his wife over the phone.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have bigger things to deal with here, Haas. Take a chill pill.
Exactly.
Give him, it's Christmas, etc. If you believe in, like, an immaculate Christmas, like, give it to other people, asshole.
Yeah, really. Yeah. So he's like, whatever, have the house. I just want that present. Bye.
Yeah.
And while this is all going on, Mitch discovers a terrible secret of Boyd's. Which is that Boyd cut him out of a family photo.
Yes.
But Boyd has a good reason for it, I guess.
An okay reason. I mean, he has a good reason to doctor the photo, not a good reason to cut his dad out.
Yeah, he was wearing, like, a crappy shirt or something.
Or he was wearing a shirt that was advertising his porta-potty business.
Yeah, it's a crappy shirt.
Handy Crap. And his license plate is Crap King.
Yeah.
See, these are the little details that I miss, and I don't care.
These are the little details you miss when you half watch a movie on a 4-inch screen in a car.
He's the king of fraud.
I would never do such a thing. So irresponsible. I do not endorse watching a movie while driving, by the way.
What if you have, like,
Google Glass? This is a good PSA.
Google Glass.
If you have Google Glass, you can watch a movie while you're driving. And then you can die, and I hope you do if you have Google Glass.
Google goggles. Didn't they cancel Google Glass?
Yes, thank God.
Google Watch. Not, like, the actual physical hand wristwatch, like, this is a segment we're doing. Breaking news, like, 6 months ago, Google Glass is dead.
Praise.
Really? I didn't know that.
All praise. Yeah.
Because everyone that wears one looks like a fucking jackass.
Yeah, it was the best. The indignation that the people that had them had towards people, like, bars banned people from wearing them inside.
Yeah.
Because you look like... An asshole.
Look like a dipshit.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Likely recording everyone at all times, and even if you aren't, Google is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a free pass to creep on everybody.
Pretty much.
It's surveillance state clothing.
All right, before we devolve into our previous podcast.
That was Google Watch.
Let's get back to the matter at hand, which is wrapping up this synopsis.
Yeah, they...
Wrapping.
Only the best here at Christmas Creeps.
They get the present, they start driving back, and they run into the same cop again for the third time, and they dump a porta potty out on him and run past him. And earlier before this, they met, Joel McHale met a hobo Santa in the gas station.
Yes.
There was some, like, weird magic twinkly bullshit music playing, which I guess the scene was supposed to be important. I was playing Simpsons Tapped Out on my phone.
He was actually, that was the second time he had shown up. He was on a street outside of, like, a bar
or
something.
At the very beginning.
Yeah.
He was, like, the second Santa, and he was, like...
The one the kid gave a dollar to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin, mind you. So he followed them. No, in Chicago. So he followed them to Wisconsin.
He was a magic. He was like a weird magic imaginary Santa almost, because he was a plot device Santa.
Yeah. Look,
because
it was like the dude from Christmas with the Cranks.
This isn't like fucking umbrella salesman Santa that lives in your town and knows who you are. This is fucking hobo transient Santa follows you on your vacation,
asking you for bourbon,
yes,
and then disappearing when your dad goes into the bathroom.
Yeah.
So that's why I say he's plot device Santa, where he's like, I seriously, after that second scene, I thought they were going to pull a, he was all a figment of Joel McHale's imagination, and he's teaching him the true meaning of Christmas.
But nope, it's even worse, because they hit the Santa with their car, and they break the car, and Santa's like, I'll give you a ride on my snowmobile. It's not snowing, by the way.
I like to think that maybe they were just gaslighting Joel McHale the whole time.
By the way, that was the one scene where I actually laughed, is when they talk about burning him,
yes,
and then and cutting him up, and then this is actually where I laughed, is when Robin Williams pulls out the chainsaw,
yeah,
and starts it up.
He's fucking ready to go, man.
That was okay. When this came out last year, I actually for some reason went and saw it in the theater.
You poor bastard!
I'm a friggin' idiot.
Did you go
Merry
with your
Christmas
family?
No, of course I wouldn't.
Did you go for your job?
No,
okay.
Of course I wouldn't.
All right.
I'm not that smart.
Okay.
So I went and saw this movie, and during this scene, I don't know, seeing it on the big screen, I was halfway wrapped up in it, and then they hit this hobo Santa, and they're discussing all of the Breaking Bad ways they can get rid of him.
Yeah, because like, Robin Williams like knows a guy who has a warehouse full of
hydrochloric acid.
Hydrochloric acid, and Joel McHale's like, that's a stupid idea. We'll never reach there in time.
Yeah.
And Clark Duke is like horrified the whole time.
Are you guys serious? And I'm like, yeah, are you guys serious? And the longer it goes and the heavier the dialogue gets, you start to think, are they going to actually do this? Are they going to?
Oh, the movie would have taken such a better turn in that regard.
And because John and Karen and I watched the trailer before we watched the movie, they knew this wasn't going to happen.
Right.
So I couldn't even like say, oh, I can't wait to see how they get out of this one, because they knew already.
Speaking of Breaking Bad, fucking, was it Badger shows up?
Yeah,
yes.
Badger's in this movie.
For like a second.
The two cowboys who run over the Santa in the street.
Okay, yeah.
One of them was on Breaking Bad.
Yeah, the driver.
I see. Got it.
As
a really goofy drug dealer and user.
A fun character.
Yeah.
But anyway, I seriously thought they were going to fucking chainsaw this Santa Claus into 100 little pieces. So
a million
and then
little pieces.
And then I was like, ooh, this movie's going to go somewhere interesting and neat.
That's my thought exactly. I was like, this movie may yet take a turn.
Right. It's going to stop trying to be like Wes Anderson and go like Coen Brothers.
And then Santa sat up and was like, hey, guys.
You got any bourbon?
And I'm like, damn it. Damn it, yeah. Santa.
God damn you, Santa.
All right, let's bring it on home.
Santa gives them a ride, because they broke the truck hitting Santa. They broke the radiator, so Santa gives them a ride on their snowmobile.
Oh, like a weird... Or is it a snowmobile? I thought it was like a weird Santa scooter.
It's a snowmobile.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's like throwing off sparks.
Flying on the street.
I did see the sparks. I did look down long enough to see sparks.
And to point out that this is a Christmas movie which takes place in Wisconsin and northern Illinois, and there's still no snow in the damn thing at all. So they're just driving down the bare-ass street on the snowmobile.
And they keep talking about global warming, but if anyone was around this past winter, they would know that fucking Wisconsin and northern Illinois,
well,
you know.
Yeah.
Which still is probably because of global warming.
New York,
but
I mean, probably got the worst of it, but Wisconsin and like the upper Midwest, oh man.
Well, Boston got hammered. Shit tons of snow.
Well.
Well, that's why they call it climate change rather than global warming.
But hey, if this is global warming, I'll take it.
So they get there, and then they see all the kids have already woken up, and Bugs Bunny is like, I don't have a present. Because apparently they only got this kid one present.
It was a big box,
but it was only $1. You don't get a kid one present, no matter how great and fucking cool that present is.
No,
you get like two or three small little bullshit.
They got him more things, but...
Quote-unquote, got.
Yeah, but what it was when he went back to the house and all of... What's-his-face?
The Iranians had opened all the presents.
They're Afghani, by the way, you racist.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot.
Yeah, because Clark... It turns out Clark Duke can speak with them.
Somebody said Iranian in the movie, and I just went with it, okay?
And I can't remember what the language was, but it wasn't Farsi.
Dari.
But he knows enough to say the wrong things.
Right.
Like, combat-ready things.
Yeah, like, scare the shit out of them.
Like, he's like, hi, how are you? Get on the ground before I break you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, anyway, that was part of the thing, was that the one big present was still wrapped up, okay, but yeah. I think that the family had, like, torn into all the other ones.
Yeah, because they assumed right. that the gifts left in the house were for them.
Yeah.
And so, to make up for that, Bug's mom and grandmother are up in the attic looking
drinking
heavily.
Getting
and
fucking
for,
hammered.
And discussing Boyd's childhood while wrapping up Boyd's yeah. childhood
and,
things.
And also discussing Boyd's sex life
and
with
Mitch's
his wife.
Sex life, too. A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though he was a very attentive lover.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah, I forgot about that line.
Yeah, and they kind of made a thing oh. earlier where Lauren Graham was like, is it Lauren Graham? Or
yeah.
Right, she was like, you know, hey, Boyd, want to kick that noise I can't do with my nephew? Yeah. And he's just like, you know.
A horse?
Yeah, he's just like, what's that mean? And it's like, oh, these people don't fuck anymore. I get it.
Right. Well, and they never resolved that either.
No, they didn't tie that up. Because no. Boyd says it, too, when he's in the truck with his dad. He's like, oh, I haven't slept with my wife in 6 months. And he's like, which, you're blaming that on me?
God damn, yeah. 6 months?
Like, I don't know if I'd ever tell my dad that if that was going on, for one thing.
I don't know if
but
I'd
also,
fucking stay with somebody.
Hey, Brad's dad, if you're listening to this, Brad fucks regularly.
Merry Christmas.
Hell yeah,
Christmas.
I do. okay.
Okay. Easy solution to this problem. If Boyd had just, like, put on a Santa suit, we know she's into that.
It's true.
We've seen Bad Santa.
Fuck me, Santa. Fuck me, Santa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Yeah, they don't wrap that up in any way. I thought they were going to just do, like, a wink-wink nudge-nudge at the end where he, like, puts his arm around the wife and they, like, go walk off into another
right.
room or something like that. Where it's like, oh, you saved Christmas. Let's go bone down. But nope, that's just never addressed whatsoever. Or, like, him hating his job.
Nope.
Not addressed.
Nope. He goes home after Christmas, still hates his job.
Yeah.
Still doesn't really have sex with his wife.
No. So apparently, life isn't really that much better. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, apparently everything's okay because this whole family that hates each other is all together and okay with it.
Oh, right. They get back to the house and they get the hobo Santa to take the present into the kid.
Yeah, and earlier, just to set up a joke out of nowhere, like, Robin Williams tells Doug, like, no, Santa doesn't want milk and cookies. He wants bourbon and asparagus.
Well, because the fucking champion eating child had drunk like a gallon of milk and eaten a shit ton of
cookies.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the kid's actually a horse.
But then the hobo loves the bourbon and he drinks it and everything's like, oh, you must be real Santa. You're drinking the bourbon.
Yeah.
Even though the kid's subconscious told him earlier that Santa doesn't exist.
Yeah, the kid's subconscious was a snowman who was voiced by Jerry Tambor was like, yeah, Santa doesn't exist, but like being told that a fat guy exists is like one of the better ways you can get let down in life.
Yeah, and then he gives him this really half-assed, like, Merry Christmas? Like, like that's how you sign off on these sort of, like, messages, right? Like, Merry Christmas, I guess.
And so they open the present, and it's a sled, which it's not been snowing, so...
The kid is like...
Handmade by Joel McHale.
Yeah, and
somewhere in his busy life, he's had time to make this.
The kid
and his
like,
son is just
yeah, the kid's
completely
just like,
not
oh,
interested.
The sled, cool, I wish it was snowing.
And then he, oh, sweet, a 40-year-old copy of Junior Bridge. Great.
No, he's in love with it. He's
yeah,
like,
he's
oh,
like,
cool,
yeah,
he's
great. I've always wanted to learn bridge.
60 years from now, that sled's getting thrown into a fire.
Aw, Rosebud.
To break this up before we further discuss, oh.
The very last thing is then it starts snowing.
But it might be ash.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, Robin Williams just wants to bring everyone down to reality.
So, Robin Williams and his son have gained a sudden... somewhat amount of respect for each other, and other than that, the status quo has been preserved.
Yes.
It's like a perfect wrap-up for a sitcom, which I think is a good way to end this, because that's exactly what this is. It's a
it
fucking
feels
sitcom.
So much like a sitcom that has been expanded out to an hour-and-a-half format.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're going to get it a tiny bit technical here. That's pretty much what it is, because everybody that worked behind the scenes on this worked on Community, like in the off-season.
So that's why you went to see it.
Yeah. No, the director is one of the Community's longtime episode directors. The music composer worked on Community. A bunch of the producers, the Russo brothers and all that, they worked on Community. Joel McHale worked on Community. Again, there's probably a couple of actors that show up here and there. Badger, he was on Community a couple of times. So this whole thing was like, I guess, an excuse for them to get Robin Williams into a movie while they weren't doing TV.
Boy howdy.
Way to waste Robin Williams.
Yeah, look what you fucking did.
I really, with all of Robin Williams' last projects, it seems to be really, he's just the kind of guy who's kind of like Slurms McKenzie just wanted to spend a nice, quiet evening at home, but everybody's just like, no, Robin, let's go be in another movie.
Poor guy.
Pretty because, true.
Yeah, when Robin Williams died, it was sort of revealed that he had three more movies in the tank ready to go.
Yeah.
And this was the first one. The second one was Night at the Museum 3. And the third one has yet to be released. It's a Monty Python movie where he voices a talking dog.
Yeah, it's all of Monty Python that's still around, and then Simon Pegg and Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Which, that could be good, but he's a talking dog.
Yeah, like it's Robin Williams isn't really the biggest.
And that's
issue
going
there.
To be his last release.
The last time
role.
We ever hear yeah. Robin Williams' voice, he's going to be a talking dog.
That's depressing.
Think about what you did, America.
Think long and hard about what you did. Just to lighten it up a little bit, I wanted to ask, before we get into opinion-type things...
Oh, we've got opinions.
Yeah, we have... Okay, more opinion-type things.
Okay.
When did you guys realize or learn that Santa was not real? Speaking of which, because that is a common recurring motif in a lot of these Christmas movies. This one kind of did a double dip, where it did... Yeah. You know, like Christmas spirit, the curmudgeon coming around, which it kind of did, but not really. And then it did the whole conflict of when do you tell your child that Santa is not real or, you know, have him realize that it's not real. I can start, or if you guys want to go around the room.
You're the guest. Lead us off.
Mine was when I was at my grandparents' house and my parents had not wrapped my presents yet. And I woke up in the middle of the night. I was... looking for my parents, and I went, and I found them in the basement wrapping presents. And that was a pretty clear sign. But that year, I got a Super Nintendo, so I didn't really care.
Yeah.
Because that was... And I had not known about video games before that point. Oh,
That's a
pretty big fucking take.
It was
that's
so
the best
good.
Consolation prize.
It was the greatest consolation prize I've ever received in my entire life. All right.
Okay. Well, the way we did this when I was a kid was my parents kind of... you know, did the Santa thing. What we did was the presents that were wrapped and under the tree were from family.
Right.
And then what they would do is overnight on Christmas Eve, they would put, we would pick like a seat in the living room and they would just put unwrapped presents there. And that's what Santa brought.
Okay.
But I don't really remember because I was always like a really like skeptical little kid about a lot of stuff.
I had my doubts and feelings before I saw that, and that just kind of clinched it
and
for me.
So like I remember like playing along with it when I was little, but not really like
free stuff. Right?
Yeah, but not really believing it. Like, you know, I was just like, oh, this is just fun, you know.
Thanks,
and
Santa.
Also, the other thing is that in the house that we lived in when I was a child, my parents' bedrooms and my bedroom, or my parents' bedroom and my bedroom were right across from each other, and they would keep all the presents in their closet, all the Santa presents. Uh-huh. And so I would hear them, like, on Christmas Eve when I was in bed, dragging them out and taking them into the living room. So I kind of knew, but we just kept it up for a long time, you know?
Fair enough.
So I didn't really have any traumatic experience with that.
Yeah. Mine was pretty easy, too. Johnny Five?
The chimney in our house went right to the furnace.
Well, fair enough then. There you go.
I have three older sisters, so I learned pretty quickly on that anything from having three older sisters, let me tell you some of my older sisters, they are some narc-ass bitches. They will fucking tattle on everything. And I learned pretty quickly on that anything that's some magical sky figure trying to get you to be good or else is probably just bullshit.
Little sisters will tattle on anything too.
Yeah,
sisters in general.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know about that.
I was a little shithead. I have three older brothers.
Lucky man. Fair enough.
Is it my turn now?
It is your turn.
I technically never found out.
Joe still believes in Santa.
This is
a big revelation for you, I'm sure.
Oh, shit. You didn't know that Santa wasn't real?
No, what she meant to say is, you know, anything that comes out of Karen's mouth is moronic. So
I knew that already.
Okay,
I'm a fucking idiot, Joe.
Santa is real.
Yeah, what she meant that Santa,
somebody can't not exist.
Yeah, what she meant was Santa is not Israeli. That wouldn't make sense. Why would you give everyone Christmas presents?
Right, Santa's not Jesus.
Okay, so really, there never was like one singular moment where I realized, oh, this Santa isn't real. It was just sort of one of those gradual realizations you have over time where you go, oh, yeah, this kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But everyone just sort of went through the motions because, eh, it's fun. It's what we do.
Yeah, that's how it was for me, you know.
I don't want to conflate the two at all, but I kind of have to now. Much like the talk that your parents are supposed to have with you, I never had it. I just sort of figured it out.
Oh, same with me, like, actually.
Oh.
Apparently, we had very similar childhoods.
Don't count yourselves lucky, because that was really awkward.
All I know is that the first time it ever came up, since you brought this up, when I was in the car with my mom as a teenager. I was like 16 or 17, and she was like, "You're not having sex, are you?" And I was like, "No." And I had been, like, already.
Everybody lies to their parents. She like asked,
that was the first time it was ever mentioned, though. Like, they never gave me the talk. Like I just picked it up and started doing dumb shit.
That kind of thing for me is like at home when you're watching like R-rated movies with your parents, and that point where they stop like giving you skittish looks, that's when they realize you're gonna be okay.
That's still like, really awkward.
Should we let him watch?
That's still really awkward to watch sex scenes with your parents, though.
Oh yeah, I don't.
I'm 27. I watched like a racy scene with my parents over like Christmas, and that was still uncomfortable.
What was the movie?
It was Eyes Wide Shut. They were watching a Christmas movie.
You came away. I
kind of really don't want to say because this would not be my normal choice of movie.
We're all friends here. What did we watch tonight, Brad?
Okay,
we don't care.
Fine. My dad wanted to watch The Interview because that whole thing going on,
okay.
And it was the scene where like Kim Jong Il brought out like all the. Like the hookers or whatever.
Right.
Now they were all topless and they were all very attractive women, and it was just really awkward.
Well, at least it wasn't.
I guess it wasn't like a real sex scene, but it was still awkward with everybody. Oh, I guess. And there was also the scene where like Seth Rogen was boning down with like the communications.
Oh, that was fucking hilarious, though.
It was funny, but
yeah, you don't want to watch.
But that was with my parents. And I don't...
On a similar note, like, I watch Game of Thrones with my dad all the time.
Oh, Christ.
So, and, like, we don't ever really even look at each other during the show. We're just like, yeah.
Is that like watching porn with your friends?
Oh, my God.
No, I watch it with my sister, and it was all right. I don't know. It's different.
Don't say that you watch Game of Thrones with your
sister.
That's
terrible. I didn't realize that there was the whole Jamie Cersei thing going on. We watched the more recent ones, okay?
Last week's episode?
No. A couple weeks ago with, like, Tyrion going through the old city with the Mud Men or whatever.
Okay.
The Stone Men, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, if we talk any further, like, someone's going to get mad that we
spoke.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
So we should probably bring it back home to Merry Frickin' Christmas.
Yes.
Before we close out tonight, I do want to play a game real quick.
Yeah.
They do play a game. Clark Duke and Robin Williams and fucking Community guy.
Joel McHale.
Yes. They play a game to pass the time. It's... I packed my grandmother's trunk, and in it I put...
Oh, yeah, this.
So I thought it'd be fun if we played around with this.
Okay.
Just until we either give up or think it's not funny anymore.
Just to make sure, you guys are familiar with this game, right?
Yeah.
You grew up in America and went on a road trip, right?
I've played variations of this, not necessarily
it's
grandmother's
like I went
trunk,
to Disney World and I packed or something
right,
like
yeah.
that. Okay.
But we're going to play it the way they played it.
Grandmother's trunk.
And I'm just going to start the way Clark Duke starts. I packed my grandmother's trunk and in it I put an apple. Brad. All right.
I packed my grandmother's trunk and in it I put an apple and a bagpipe.
Okay.
Here. Oh, are we going to keep it up with their...
Well, you don't have to do the next one.
Yeah, no, because okay. It doesn't really count.
I packed my grandmother's trunk, and in it, I put the Christmas creeps.
No.
Oh,
you
shit!
You lost the
game
already.
Wait, let me start over. Okay, I packed my grandmother's trunk, and in it, I put an apple, a bagpipe, and the Christmas creeps.
That's a big trunk.
Yeah, to fit all of us.
I packed my grandmother's trunk, and then I put an apple, a bagpipe, the Christmas creeps, and dog shit-ass movies.
And good
dog,
one.
Dog farts.
Good one.
I packed my grandmother's trunk, and in it I put an apple, a bagpipe, the Christmas creeps, dog shit-ass movies, and every Wes Anderson movie.
I packed my grandmother's trunk. In it, I put an apple, a bagpipe, Christmas creeps, dog shit movies. You didn't say dog shit ass, did
dog
you?
Dog shit ass.
He did. Sorry. Dog shit ass movies. Every Wes Anderson film. And fucking A, do we have to keep going?
Once we
that
got,
was an actual thing, though.
Yeah.
Once we got to D, I realized what the game actually was. That you had to, oh shit, you had to remember all this crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, also fucking A, we are going to keep going.
Yes.
Okay.
So you can make the object fucking A.
Right, right. Okay. I packed my grandmother's trunk, and in it I put an apple, a bagpipe, Christmas creeps, dog shit ass movies, every Wes Anderson film, fucking A, and...
What the fuck are you looking at me?
It's G.
I know. And some gingerbread cookies.
All right.
Because it's
Christmas. Thematically appropriate.
Yes.
Fair.
For late May.
Gingerbread is delicious anytime.
I know it is. I know.
You say that like it's not true.
Oh, man. I need to... I might bake some gingerbread next week. That'd
fuck
be
yeah.
amazing.
Oh, man.
All right, Johnny Five.
I packed my grandmother's trunk, and in it I put an apple, bagpipes, Christmas creeps, dog shit ass movies, every Wes Anderson movie, fucking A, are we still doing this, gingerbread cookies, and hey, let's do something else now.
I think that's where we're going to have to cut it off.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't want to go one more and go, I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, he, I don't want to repeat.
I know.
And then the next one.
He's like, Joe said, let's just say
Joe said, let's stop. Joe said we have to keep doing this,
right.
So I'm still doing this.
And then next one, kill me, please.
Well, maybe I will. No. Wait, no, I missed L. Shit.
Lop my head off with a machete. Let's just finish going down the alphabet here.
Make it stop. No, please.
make it stop. Make it stop. Make it stop.
No, no. No more.
Oh, man, are we still doing this?
Please kill me.
Quickly.
All right.
Really, guys? Really? Are we really?
Shit.
What is this, an episode of The Wire?
The Christmas spirit.
No.
Verily.
Why?
No.
W? Why?
T.
Oh.
Not the letter Y, you dingus.
No. Well, I mean, at this point,
yeah, Joe.
Zoinks.
Crankometer. Good movie, bad movie.
Well, all right, crankometer.
It's definitely a Christmas movie. We know that for
yes,
sure.
It's
all right.
Extremely
it is,
Christmassy.
It's definitely not a good movie.
Mm. No.
I cannot.
Worse than Christmas Shoes? That's the only question.
No.
Point.
No.
No.
Better than Christmas Shoes.
There's no conceivable universe where this is worse than Christmas Shoes.
Better or worse than Christmas with the Cranks?
Whoa.
I'm gonna go with better.
Yeah, better.
Just on the basis of Clark Duke being a weird piece of shit, yes, better.
I mean, like, the cast. Yes, Clark
yeah.
Duke.
Yeah.
You have
yeah.
Joel Robin McHale. Williams. You have Tim Heidecker shouting at kids.
You have not Tim Allen.
Yeah.
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 That's a
yeah.
big one.
That's a plus.
I was trying to think, like, who in this movie is, like, Elseworlds Tim Allen. You were saying that Tim Allen's not in the movie.
Right.
I thought you mean like a generic off-brand Tim
no,
Allen.
No, the fact that Tim Allen is not in this movie is a plus.
So if you're looking for another version of Tim Allen, you want a psychotic cokehead. That's Robin Williams, I think.
Yeah, actually it is.
Guess so.
Kind of the same genre
and if
of
you
comedian.
Want, wait, Robin Williams wasn't in Wild Hogs. I was going to say if you want both, just watch Wild Hogs. But Robin
he was
Williams.
In Old Dogs.
Old Dogs, that's the one. Okay.
Did you guys ever see RV?
No.
No.
I caught a couple of minutes when my cousin was watching it. It looked the worst. It looked worse than this movie. Anyways.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
This is a bad movie.
This is definitely... Christmas, yes. Bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just imagine that the phrase that most came out of Robin Williams' mouth the past 20 years or so was, God damn it, I was in Dead Poets Society.
Basically.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, between that and it's
like Goodwill Hunting.
Yeah.
What about the Birdcage?
I would even say like yeah. Genie in Aladdin was like a notable role.
Oh
it's
yeah.
Like after that, it's like
after like the mid '90s, it was just like, what are you
kinda,
even doing?
Kind of downhill from there, where it's like We need some zing in this movie.
And I think John...
Get the red line. Get me Robin Williams.
The red phone. Robin Williams has the launch codes. So, you know, John pointed out during the movie that it seems like in the last 15 years or so, Robin Williams has kind of just done these low-key, small movies that he knew nobody was going to see.
Money?
Maybe.
I mean, I'm sure he was pretty well off.
He's done, like, high-profile stuff, too. Like, he's been on sitcoms and done all kinds of stuff since then.
Didn't he try to launch a sitcom a couple of years ago?
Yeah, and it tanked.
Yeah, that's right. It was with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Buffy, yeah. But he's not really done a whole lot since, you know.
I was going to make a joke, but I'm not going to.
Well, now that you said that, I was going to say...
You cannot start a sentence with that and then end with not the joke.
He's doing a whole lot less now.
Oh, dear God.
Give me your microphone.
my mic rights been revoked?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
You have forfeited...
It was too soon. Too soon, Robin Williams.
Well, it's been almost a year. It's been about eight or nine months.
There's nothing sacred. No, I'm just kidding.
Nothing is sacred.
He's not even cold yet.
That's because it's fucking hot outside.
Global warming.
It's probably just ash.
If this is global warming, I'll take it.
Oh, man.
Okay, all right. So I'm looking at Robin Williams' credits here, and in the last couple of years, it's been a lot of nothing, but he played Dwight D. Eisenhower in that movie The Butler, which I can't really wrap my head around. He was in the Happy Feet movies.
Oh, God.
Night at the Museum, of course.
He wasn't... Oh.
World's Greatest Dad, which is sadly ironic. But anyway, Robin Williams, has sort of... He hasn't kept a low profile, but he's kind of stayed off the radar.
Right. He hasn't been doing...
Anything he's been in majorly, it's been a small thing, and in big things he's doing...
The best thing that... The last best thing that Robin Williams did was a series of Zelda commercials for Nintendo. Where he played Zelda with his daughter Zelda.
Oh, that's right. I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was cute.
That's good. Those are his favorite. He was a gamer, and those were his favorite video games.
He was a game enthusiast. Let's not use those kind of dirty words to tarnish the reputation. Of Robin Williams.
Okay, three sheets to the wind. I forget that words mean things.
That's okay, but yeah, those were cute.
At least you didn't almost fall off the couch tonight.
That's true. There was no dog fart moment in this movie, and I'm kind of I'm disappointed. I really am.
Do you fall off the couch during dog fart moments?
He almost did.
Did we not tell you about the dog fart moment in Bone Alone?
You did. Okay. I've been listening.
It broke Joe.
Yeah. It's amazing. It raised me up and broke me over its knee.
Alrighty. So,
Merry friggin' Christmas. It's on the internet if you want to rent it. If you're dumb enough and desperate enough.
I would recommend going for SD over HD if you're doing it on iTunes. It's a dollar less. And that is a dollar worth of booze that can help you get through said movie.
Yeah, you can buy like an okay tall boy for that, maybe.
Yeah.
You can buy a Yingling.
A couple cents more.
Yeah.
Good chat, guys.
Well, that was fun. So
But yes.
We're going to go away and recuperate from this movie. So please, while we're gone, we would love it if you left us some feedback, some movie recommendations, comments saying you love us or you hate us. I don't really care, really.
Somebody reviewed us on iTunes.
Yes, please review us on iTunes like that one dude named Pure Bromance did. It was a 5-star review, and it was glowing.
It was.
If you review us, Joe will say your name on the podcast.
I will say your name on the podcast, Doug. I don't know. I actually don't know.
I think Joe's done with this podcast forever now.
Stereo.
Dear iTunes, it's me again, Doug.
I was...
The first person to go onto iTunes and do that, I will give you cash money.
We will give you our copy of Christmas Shoes.
Follow us on Twitter at Christmas Creeps.
Excuse me, follow us. At @Xmas_creeps.
There you go.
Email us. It's xmascreeps, no underscore.
Right.
Find us on Facebook.
At Gmail, by the way.
Yes, at gmail.com. Find us on Facebook. We're Christmas Creeps. You'll know us. We're the skull with the candy cane crossbones. I love saying that so much.
It just rolls off the tongue. It's like cellar door.
It's so short and so descriptive, and nobody else has that
image.
Yeah.
And hey, if you like having Brad around, PayPal us money, he'll show up more often.
Yeah, Bradford was a regular co-host on our old endeavor that died a grim and painful death at the hands of the internet. But he's back now for this episode, and we appreciate that he dropped by.
Yes.
The pleasure is mine, you guys.
We're very happy to see you.
You can have that chair whenever you want to show up.
Aw.
When we're recording, I mean, if you want to show up, we're not recording. I mean, go ahead, but we're not going to be here.
Yeah.
When we record, we make a place for Brad.
I'll see what I can do.
Yes.
That's going to do it for the show. Good night, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.